Thank you, Amy. Good morning, Mount Joy family. It's good to see you this morning. We're continuing and concluding our series on Joseph, the life of Joseph. And next week, we're going to start a series on prayer. But before that, I just want to say, how many of you, your mom made a great bag of chips? I mean, I heard these kids up here this morning. Yeah. All that in a bag of chips, right? Yeah, my mom made some great Hartley's potato chips. She made some great Middlesworth potato chips, Grandma Utz, you know, all those different potato chips. And so maybe some of your moms actually made the chips. Who knows, right? Some people are good at that. We just kind of picked them up at Wilson's grocery store and had them as a side. And usually on Memorial Day weekend, too. So I just thought that was kind of cute. I also thought, boy, if we had bulletins this morning, we don't have paper bulletins anymore. We could all made airplanes for National Paper Airplane Day. And my sister is a redhead. So, Lynn, if you're watching out there in North Carolina, happy Redhead Day and month to you. You know, God bless you. I'm sure we won't cover all those, but I was just intrigued with all the things that Jen was bringing up this morning that we celebrate during the month of May. And so next week we'll start this series called God's Hammock, Paul's Prayer Journal. And we'll talk a little bit about what's next week. We'll do one Sunday on what's holding you back. What's keeping you back from praying? And we're going to look at Jesus in the temple and things that were holding people back, mindsets that were holding people back from really meeting with God. And Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. So we'll talk about that. And then the rest of the series will all be on Paul's prayers that we find littered throughout the New Testament. And the whole idea of prayer can be a hammock where we get the pressures of life off of our shoulders and in God's hands. And we just rest in the hammock of God. So we're finishing up the series today, This Is Us, Relational Lessons from the Life of Joseph. And boy, it seems like the series has gone on because we had a hiatus in the middle of it where we had the Hallmans here and we almost had Bishop Keith here 1 week. But I just wanted to go over real quick some of the relational lessons that we learned as today we're talking about this whole idea of forgiveness. And this whole idea of forgiveness is how we work at healing our family tree. So relational lesson number one was this: when families play favorites, it breeds immaturity, envy, and rivalry. But when families bless each member as handcrafted, God's goodness flows. So that was number one. Number two was when families harbor secrets, people are divided, devastated, and lead double lives. But when we walk in the light, Jesus purifies us, and we can experience relational renewal in our relationships. Number three is unresolved grief shrinks our faith and shuts down our soul. But resolving our grief with God's help enlarges our soul, and it restores our hope. And then number four was adversity entices us to cash in our character for a cheap substitute that never satisfies us. But if we take God's hand, He will lead us to higher ground. Last week was relational lesson number five. Our wounds, our identity struggle, and the need to be embraced can serve as pathways that lead us to God and to His family. And then today, number six, healing our family tree requires embrace, blessing, and giving a new coat to those around us. So I want to ask you this, because I noticed this about something I noticed about Joseph. When he meets up with his brothers after all of these years, they're surprised that it's him. They don't recognize him. He recognizes them. And it seems as though he has been prepping himself for this day or for this time, but they haven't. So I just want to ask you this question. Have you ever been confronted with an opportunity to forgive that you didn't see coming? You didn't see it coming. And maybe someone sent you a note or a text, or you met up with someone in a grocery store or a public place, and there's someone who you had some adversity with in the past or some hurt with them, and all of a sudden they're there with you, and there's kind of this opportunity to bless them and forgive them, but you weren't quite ready for that. You know, we react differently when we're not ready. When we're ready to forgive, we can act in ways that Joseph did. It seems as though he's been kind of thinking about this for a while. And we're going to go back to some of last week with this whole idea of embracing. Because when we work at and we do our part in healing our family tree, and God is the healer of our family tree, amen, but we have our part. And the other person who maybe we're at odds with, they have their part in healing our family tree. But the first thing is healing our family tree requires that we're anticipating this so that we can embrace those people. J. Genesis 45, 14 and 15. Amy just read it for us. Weeping with joy, he embraces Benjamin, and Benjamin does the same. Now remember, Benjamin was the brother who wasn't by the pit, right? Benjamin was the younger full brother, and he wasn't there when all this went on, where he was sold out into slavery, sold, and he's a full brother, so he embraces him. Maybe he's a little bit safer to embrace because he doesn't feel like he was part of the whole thing. Maybe that's sometimes when we're embracing our family, we go to the safest one first to embrace. Do you have safer people in your family that you would embrace first, maybe before somebody else? Because somebody else might bristle at your embrace of them. And so he embraces him first. And it says he kisses every one of his brothers. He weeps over them. And of course, in their culture in that day, kissing someone would be the sign of affection, of love, of listening, of communicating. I'm ready to communicate with you. It was almost a sign of, I'm ready. We're initiating this time where now we're going to open, freely talk with one another, you know? And still, in Middle Eastern cultures, that's often practices. Okay, let's do that first. That's a sign that we're open to actually converse and listen to one another and hear one another and have an ongoing conversation with one another. So this embrace is important. There's this mutual embrace between Joseph and Benjamin, embracing our family. Sometimes it's hard to embrace our family. Sometimes it's hard for our family to embrace us, right? You know? Sometimes we're the ones who've been the offender, or we're the ones who've hurt our family, or we're the ones that have kind of exiled ourselves in some way, and we're a little bit bristled and maybe hard to embrace at times, or there's certain subjects that they won't approach with us because it's a little bit difficult for them to talk to us too. There's a great book on healing your family tree and how to deal with these different kind of challenges in our families. And the name of the book is called Healing Your Family Tree. It's written by Beverly Hubble Talk. And she actually, in this book, part of the book is some research that she did when she worked at a homeless shelter for men in Washington, D.C. And she was a counselor there and helping them. And she found out by working with this group of homeless men that they had some of the same exact family of origin issues that we all have, that are common to all of us, and that many of them had picked a homeless life because in some way they felt exiled by their family. They didn't feel part of their family, but they all, when she interviewed them and talked to them, she came up with a number of things that she goes throughout the book that talk about how people need warm connections. And she says this in the book: we are wired for warmth. Our brains are literally programmed by our early emotional life. Do you know children that are in an orphanage, they will hire people or get volunteers to come in for 1 hour a day and just hold those children? Little babies, little infants. Their brains develop better, their emotions develop better, their bodies develop better just by being held for 1 hour a day. Isn't that amazing? We are hardwired to have warm connections with one another. We heard the Holmans talk about that a few weeks ago, and Heather when she was here preaching and teaching, and Ashley. We're wired for that warmth. We need that. And so Joseph is wired for that too, and so are his brothers and his family, and they're just waiting, and he's craving this time to be embraced and be in embrace with his families. And even when we don't get warmth, talk says that we are wired for it. We want it. We crave it. We look for it in other ways. That's why people who don't get those warm connections will sometimes become addicts. They'll get addicted to a substance or a practice or something else because they're looking for this warm embrace. And when they're high or they're elated or they're engaged in this thing that they're doing, just for a moment, they feel like they're home or they're embraced or they're good or whatever. And then that's not enough. So there's that what, as the Bible says, continual need for more, a continual lust for more of that. Because we're wired for that warm connection with God and with the family that he's assigned us to. So even when we don't get it, we look for these counterfeits. There's an old country western song that goes like this: looking for love in all the wrong places. Have you heard that one? So that's what I'm talking about. When we don't get those warm connections, we're looking for love in all the wrong places. You know? And this actually came up earlier in the story when the week that Fred was preaching and Fred talked to us about adversity. There was this whole idea that Joseph was under adversity because this embrace was coming to him from Potiphar's wife, somebody else's wife. She wanted to embrace him physically. And if you think about it, you know, sometimes we think, oh, that was all the physical, sexual part about it. But think about the emotional part of it too. Here's a guy who's been totally rejected by his family, and to feel someone else's physical embrace, or someone wants you around, or someone desires you, there's a whole part of that that's an emotional part of it. And we all need that emotional embrace, that whole idea of the book that I read in the first week, I choose you. We want to be chosen. We want to be embraced. We want to be able to choose others and embrace them and be a family together and know that we're a unit together and that we can go through these things together. Relational lesson number four from that week about adversity was, adversity, it entices us to cash in our character for a cheap substitute that never satisfies. But if we take God's hand, he'll lead us on to higher ground and to an embrace with him, an embrace with his family, like we saw last week with the new members and the people getting baptized here, you know, an embrace by God and his family that leads us on to higher ground and not into an addictive lifestyle that's looking for love in all the wrong places. Another book that I read not too long ago is called Aging Well. I read it a couple of years ago, and it's actually a study, but in the study, they made a couple of, once they did the study about people who are aging well, they said the people that are age well keep up with warm connections with important people in their life and in their family. And the quote goes like this: when we are old, our lives become the sum of all whom we have loved. Think about that. When we are old, our lives become the sum of all the people we've loved. It's important for us not to waste anyone. In other words, love well while you can. Let's say that together. Love well while you can. Love well while you can. Look to the person next to you and just say, love well while you can. Right? Sometimes we're putting this off. Oh, I want to, you know, I want to send this card. Maybe somebody in your family you're not even having a struggle with, but this holiday would be a good holiday just to text them, say, I'm thinking about you. Maybe send them a note. Maybe actually go to, they have these stores called Hallmark. Have you ever heard of Hallmark? There's a few of them left, and they sell these things called cards. And you can get a card that says, I like you. It just says nice stuff on the front of it, and you can write. And you can actually take a pen, and you can write. Can any of you out there still write with your hand? You know? Of course you can send an email and type it. Of course you can send, it's not meaningless, but every once in a while it's nice to get something hard copy in the mail with someone wrote something. Hey, I miss you. I love you. I care about you. I thought about this memory of us as kids or whatever. Just a fun way to make a warm connection with one another. And don't waste the people. Don't waste the people. As you're getting older, invest even more. Invest even more. I want to ask you this question. When might it be appropriate to embrace someone who has betrayed or harmed you? When might it be appropriate to embrace someone who has betrayed or harmed you? Because I'm not telling you to entrust yourself to somebody again emotionally or physically who's not trustworthy. That's not what I'm telling you. I just want to make that clear this morning. But it does seem like Joseph, in some sense, has the upper hand here, right? Right? He can choose what he's going to do with them, but he can choose to embrace them because he's the one that has the blessing. He's the one that's got the goods. He's the one that's actually going to deliver on the dream of taking care of everyone around him. Now, when he was young, he didn't know that the dream wasn't just about worship. It was really about deliverance. and keeping his people alive and well. But as an older man, he begins to realize this. And so he's able to embrace them, and he starts with Benjamin because Benjamin seems to be maybe the safest person to do that. So what I'm telling you is you can forgive somebody without embracing them again if they're not trustworthy. So don't leave here today saying, Pastor Joel got up there and told us just to forgive everybody and embrace everybody and everything's going to be good, because it won't with certain people. There's certain people that you forgive, and what? You love them from a distance until they are safe to have that embrace. Second thing I want to talk to you about this morning, about forgiveness. And forgiveness is powerful, isn't it? Aren't you just glad that God invented forgiveness? Aren't you glad that God forgives us? Aren't you glad other people forgive us? I'm so glad that people are gracious and forgiving. Aren't you glad that you get to forgive? That you get to cancel debts? That you get to say, you don't owe me? You know, because forgiveness is canceling what? An emotional debt where you feel someone else owes you and you say, you don't owe me. That's canceled. It's done. Let's make things right, and let's move on in such a way that we're not, you know, always in offense or contention with one another. Amen? It's the goodness of forgiveness and the power of the cross. So healing our family tree, number two, requires blessing. This blessing. It's interesting, in Genesis 45, he tells them, Joseph tells his brothers, he says, hey, don't worry about, you know, bring it. Matter of fact, he said, don't worry about bringing everything. Matter of fact, just take some carts, get back home, load them up, bring them back here. Except for Dad, I'm going to send a lot of stuff on to Dad. You know how much stuff he sends on to Dad? So he sends all the stuff on to Dad. Then Dad, they load Dad up in the cart and then they bring them all back with all the stuff. You know? But I think it was just, he wanted to let his father know, I've thought about you for years. I didn't know you were still there. I didn't know I could connect with you or get back with you. So I just wanted to bless you and love you. So Joseph says, bring Dad, bring the whole families, move everybody here, as they would have said back then, lock, stock, and barrel. Okay, they wouldn't have said that. But he said, everything is going to be provided for you here. And he actually relocates them into the land of Goshen. And if you look at a map of the Holy Land in that area, and you look at a map of Egypt, what he was doing was he was bringing them into a place of blessing where they could still be herdsmen, they could still run their lives the way we were, but they would have the best of the land even in these 5 years of famine. They would be the preferred herdsmen and have the preferred chunk of property that everybody else would want. And he was saying to them, I choose you. I want you to live there. You're my family. I want to bless you. I want to take care of you. In his book, Forgiveness, pastor and author Adam Hamilton, he talks about this fine art of working out and working on forgiveness through prayer. Through prayer. Prayer helps us get in touch with God's heart for forgiveness, how to forgive. It helps to mold our heart toward God and the Holy Spirit in forgiveness. It helps us to forgive with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and love our neighbor as ourself when we forgive in this way. And in the book, here's a quote from it. Adam Hamilton says this in his book, Forgiveness, Finding Freedom and Letting Go. Every single day, I would say the Lord's Prayer. He was trying to forgive somebody. So he says, every single day, I would pray the Lord's Prayer. I would get to the point where it says, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And each day I felt the stone being chipped away. I felt that God began to heal me. See, forgiveness is setting a prisoner free. Corrie ten Boom said this, forgiveness is setting a prisoner free and realizing the prisoner was you. When you forgive somebody, You untether yourself from that memory, from that person, and every time you forgive and it comes up again, you just unchain yourself. You unhook yourself. You cut it off. You say, Lord, come and heal it. Because yes, forgiveness is for the other person, but the forgiveness is for you. So you don't have to be tied into that destructive, negative cycle and memory of that loss and that pain so that you can give that up. I want us just to stop for a moment during the service and pray a prayer together of the Lord's Prayer. And I want us just to start at the beginning and slowly read this through and just thinking and asking God if there's anybody in our life. And I want you to open your hands like this as we pray it. You know that by now with me. I'm going to make you do something funky, move around a little bit. It's good to change our posture before God, isn't it?
That's right.
It is. All through the Bible. It says stand, shout, jump, cry, express, right? So let's just express ourselves to God and say, Lord, as I pray this prayer, if there's anybody in my life that I need to forgive, bring them to my mind. And if there's anybody I need to ask forgiveness of, bring them to mind so that I follow through after I've prayed this prayer together. Let's pray it together, starting with Our Father in Heaven, just reading it slowly and prayerfully. Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Question that I have for you. Jesus commanded us to bless those who curse us. How does God work redemption in us when we bless somebody who has cursed us? How does God work his redeeming work in us when we choose to bless somebody who cursed us? Last point I want to talk to you about this morning is healing our family tree requires a new coat, requires a new suit of clothing being given to the other people. So the sons of Jacob did as they were told. And Joseph provided them with wagons, as Pharaoh had commanded. He gave them supplies for the journey, and he gave each one of them new clothes. And to Benjamin, he gave 5 changes of clothes and 300 pieces of silver. Now notice how he treats Benjamin. Could favoritism be sneaking back into the family story again? Maybe, right? Because he gives him 5 changes of clothes and all this extra stuff. And maybe they're just, he's my full brother. He wasn't part of this whole deal. You know, I just want to give him a little bit of an extra blessing. I don't know. I can't prove that. But it seems like, you know, that favoritism thing just keeps popping up, doesn't it, in generations? And we have to be careful about that. So I just want to say, as you go back over these relational lessons that you're learning from the life of Joseph, and we're learning together, that you have to remember, boy, they are trends that just keep popping up again and again. Amen? They do. They're strong roots in our family tree. And so we have to work hard with God to root and pull them out. I was working on the hillside down below in our backyard. Our backyard kind of sweeps down and it goes flat and it goes to the Conedogwinet Creek. And the lower part of the hillside has a bunch of trees on it, but it's real steep there. And it has a bunch of poison ivy in it. It doesn't matter. I mean, I've chopped it. I've burned it. I've cut it. I've doused it, you know, with all kinds of stuff. I tried just eating it and making veggies. No, I didn't ever eat. But that poison ivy is all. So the other day I'm down there and I've got my gloves on because I don't get the poison ivy as bad as Debbie does. Debbie will get it really bad. But I can usually pull it, get a little bit of it on my inside of my forearms, but not as bad. I'm not as allergic to it. And I was just working and working and working and working and working and working that stuff. And then it just comes back again. Right? You walk around, you think you had it 3 weeks later. There it is again, the evil poison ivy. It's kind of like our family tree, right? some of those things just keep creeping back in. And we just have to ask for the Lord's help to weed it out, to stay with it, you know, to deny those roots growing up into another generation in our family. So it says that we remember that Joseph had been stripped bare by his brothers. He was sold off. But he returns the favor by clothing them fully and providing a lush place for them to live in. It's amazing. He clothes them fully, gives them this lush place to live in. It's part of forgiving. It's part of this whole restoration. And it is somewhat metaphorical, but it's also physical. He's physically giving them clothes off of from his own closet to wear on their backs to take care of them. He's actually physically doing, he's returning their curse. They cursed him, and he's returning with a blessing, their curse. He's doing exactly what Jesus tells us to do. And there's times where we're forgiving people where we need to do diametrically opposed to what they've done to us. We need to reverse the curse. So let's just say this together. Let's reverse the curse, okay? Let's just say this together. Let's reverse the curse. Let's reverse the curse. And sometimes you're just doing something totally different to give a blessing to this person. There was significance in Joseph's story about the things that were taken off of him and put onto him, but it seems as though he has this substance of character that's growing in him, that no matter what somebody else puts on him or what somebody else takes off of him, God has built something deep within him. This God-given dream to bless others and to actually bring God's salvation to others through the way he acts and lives his life when he's been given such vast influence. Doesn't use the influence for himself. He uses it to bless others. You know, in ancient times, families would often mark themselves with something called a coat of arms, images that would be put on the shoulder of a person. They'd be embossed at different places. And it communicated family values or characteristics. And one of the characteristics we see that Joseph is kind of embossing or engraving there is this whole idea of forgiveness and restoration, of wholeness, of love, of health and goodness, of family being restored. And I thought about asking you this question. If Mount Joy Mennonite Church had a coat of arms, and it was kind of like your core values of how you treated each other, what would be the images that would be on your coat of arms? I just want you to think about that a little bit. Because I know as we did the peak summary and the peak survey, we asked you, you know, what are some of the things that you want to keep that are part of your identity, you know? And I think over the next few months, as you're thinking as a family, what does it mean for us to be Mount Joy Mennonite Church? What does it mean for us to be us? What are the 2, 3, 4 things that are our core values that make us who we are, that give us our identity and push us into the future? I think that would be a good exercise to do that with the church family. And I'm sure we would have different opinions about that. You would have different opinions. It doesn't matter what my opinion is about that. I'm not going to be here, right? It really doesn't. It's me helping you or helping facilitate some of that. So I just thought I would just kind of poke a little bit at that today, just prompt a little bit of that today. Be thinking, what makes us that? What 2, 3, 4 things that we value and that we do, key characteristics of us, make us who we are and push us on into our future together? Relational lesson number 6 is this. Healing our family tree requires embrace, blessing, and a new coat. You know, I'm really glad that there's people like Joseph who think ahead about forgiveness and almost plan ahead for forgiveness. I had a friend like that one time. I had offended my friend. And I had rented part of a home that he was in, and we kind of got at odds with each other. I moved out. Both young single guys, and he owned his own home. And a couple months later, I started reading a book called Improving Your Serve by Charles Swindoll. And one of the chapters in the book was improving your serve through forgiveness, the fine art of forgiveness. And I realized that I didn't need to forgive him, but I needed him to forgive me. I was wrong. I was sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you for loving me. I needed to go back and tell him those statements. I drove by his house any number of times, and his pickup truck wouldn't be there. I'd be like, oh, good. And I drove by one day, and his pickup truck was there, and I pulled in his driveway. I went up, knocked on the door. I'm so glad for my friend Mark, who was prepared in advance to forgive. I apologized to him at the door. He threw his hand out, took my hand, and then pulled me in and embraced me. And he said, come in for a cup of coffee. And I said, Mark, will you please forgive me? I said it again. And he said, oh, I forgave you a long time ago, but it's so good to see you again. He was as Christ to me that day. Oh, that we may be like that, planning ahead for the chance to forgive. Amen? Being as Christ to one another. So if you have a hurt or a pain or something in your life and someone that you need to forgive, plan it out. Get it out. Forgive them ahead of time. And if the chance ever comes up to be reconciled physically and talk it out, then do that. If it doesn't, you're unchained, you're set free, and so are they. Amen? Either way. At the beginning of our series, we pulled out those little nesting owls, and I want to go back to them just for a minute. Aren't they cute? They're just kind of cute. Somebody gave me a set of those, and three of them, the biggest three, really, the biggest one is Joseph's story. But when you unlock that one and you look inside of that one, inside Joseph's story, there's Jesus' story is hidden inside of Joseph's story. And if you unlock that one, the third one inside of that is your story. So there's things that we learn through Joseph, that we learn about Jesus and his story, that we're hidden in there, that need to influence our story. Today it's this whole thing about forgiveness. So I want you, just as you're going about your week, to kind of think about that. How does Joseph's story, Jesus' story, and my story line up with this whole thing of forgiveness? God, what are you trying to say to me about forgiveness as I go throughout this week? I love this picture of Jesus because it reminds me of Joseph. Look at Jesus in his coat of many colors. Jesus, who's come to redeem, Jesus, who's come for all people, all nationalities, all tribes and tongues and nations, he's come for everyone to bring his forgiveness, his love, and his kingdom to them. Jesus in his coat of many colors. I just love this picture because it just reminds me of that Jesus is the greater Joseph, bringing the kingdom in us, on us, and through us. I want to end our time today with a prayer, and you've probably heard part of this prayer before. It's called the Serenity Prayer. Anybody ever hear part of the Serenity? So you've probably heard this part of it, right? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You've probably heard that. You may have not heard the rest of the prayer. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as he did, he is Jesus, this sinful world as it is, not as I would like it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this world and supremely happy in the next. Amen. I want us to read this out loud together, starting back with the beginning of the prayer, Fred. Let's read it out loud together, starting with God. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would like it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this world and supremely happy in the next. Amen.